Hi, I'm Carrie Butler, and you're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. I have a special offer for my listeners. You can get my new course at carriebutlercoach.com/Broadway Podcast.
Once I played a Penny who just couldn't stop the beat. Yes, with roller skates on her feet. Because it's recently deceased. A real cool mom. Musical version of Tina Fey. Tina Fey. Now come with me and fly. Fly. I am your host, Miss Carrie Butler. Together you and I are brave.
Welcome back to Breaking Broadway. This is part two with Andrew Fehm. Andrew is a trans, non-binary, and multilingual casting director, college showcase consultant, community care organizer, and artist based in New York City. In casting, they work in television, theater, film, commercials, and whatever other medium you need. If you haven't listened to our first episode with Andrew, stop, go back, listen to that because there is such useful information in that episode. And then once you finish that one, come back and join us here. I have another question about just like the technical part of auditioning. When you, like you said, sometimes you'll have a scene and you're on camera and you'll have a scene with like different people. Should you put the people in different places, like behind the camera? How does that work?
Yeah, that's a really good question. The answer is like yes, within reason. So you don't need to make every single person a different eye line. Because also sometimes you think about the scene and think if people, it makes sense for people to be like in the same general place. Like,
right.
You know, if it's two friends and they're talking to you, you don't need to be like here. It's like people do stand next to each other and that's okay. And so especially as you get scenes with like more and more people in them, it's just going to be distracting and it's going to be impossible for you to audition if you try to make every single person a different eye line.
Yeah, I do that sometimes. I like put a piece of tape and then it's like, oh God, which one is which person?
Yeah. There's this one actor on Instagram who I follow. She used to make these videos where she would sing all of the roles, but in musical numbers that had a bunch of, like in One Day More or in, you know, in Your Fault from Into the Woods. And she would hold up little pieces of paper with all of them. And it's like, don't do the eyeline version of that. She did it as a joke. It was very funny. But yeah, so, you know, sort of within reason, yes. Because you definitely want to distinguish between people if it makes sense for them to be like very different. And the thing with eyeline is practice when you're not auditioning, because especially if you're a person who comes from theater and you don't have a lot of experience with on camera, it's very different. You do not need to change your eyeline very much to make a big difference on screen. Like just a little shift makes a huge difference. You don't like in a way that it does not make sense for in theater. You know, in theater, if you were as subtle as you were on camera, it would make any difference. And on camera, it's like just the slightest little shift is like, whoa, you're looking in a completely different direction. I do it when I'm filming those reels sometimes. If I need to like place somebody off camera, I can't do it because I don't have practice doing it. I'll like look where I think is normal and then I'll watch it back and it's like I'm turned completely sideways. I'm like,
yes.
No, I just looked the tiniest bit to the side. And it's like, yeah, do less.
Yeah.
So that's a thing people can practice anytime. But yeah, figuring out what those little shifts are that make it clear you're looking in different places, because it's not as much as you think. And I say that as someone who does it professionally.
What about moving? Do most people just sit there and have the camera in one place, or is it better to move into the scene? Or
yeah, that's another good question. If it makes sense to enter, yes. And then that's like a very good technical question, because how good is your camera? How good is the focus on it? And that's the thing in auditions, even sometimes, you know, my camera would have a bad day and people are like, could I enter? And I'm like, no. Because the camera's not going to, you know, and so then you enter and the camera's out of focus. And so we lose the first few seconds of your audition and that's not fun. So sometimes, right, auditioning is not all fun and the magic of the craft. Sometimes it's just very boring and technical, which is important for people to know. Like, yeah, you can't enter because the camera might not focus. So if it makes sense to, yes, but try to be as objective as you can be, because sometimes you don't need to. Like those are, I think, some of the things too that I think actors will get too much in their heads about. It's like, oh, should I enter? Do it? And it's like, you don't always need to.
Okay. Do you need a reel? And do you watch reels?
Do you need a reel? And do you watch reels? Do you need a reel? No. Do you want a reel? Yes, you need some kind of demo material for sure. It's 2023. there's no excuse at this point, because again, especially 3 years into a pandemic, like every actor has spent the last 3 years becoming a professional cinematographer and lighting designer and sound designer and editor. And so it's like, it is easier than it has ever been for you to put together some footage. All information is good information. Information is important. And so I always tell people to think about it. Like, what's going to tell me more about you? Looking at one picture of you one time on one day, or seeing you do a scene, even if it's really short, seeing you do, even if it's a 16 bar cut of a song, like, that's going to be so much more helpful. And even it doesn't need to be professional. Everybody starts somewhere. So it's like, if it's not professional, great. But like, yes, have some kind of clip of you somewhere. I always say doing the thing you want to be hired to do, because there's so many amazing singers who come out of school, who will graduate, who will showcase and then enter the workforce. And then I try to, you know, I cast a lot of readings. And so I'll be trying to recommend them for readings where we're not having auditions and we're casting off of clips. And there's just like nothing to be found of them anywhere. And it's like, you're such a good singer. I was like, why are you keeping it a secret? Like, help me help you. So yeah, have something. And then as you work, you can, you know, put together a professional reel. But anything so would you is just helpful
do
in the beginning.
Would you just do a Google search and then realize that they don't have anything?
Yeah. I'll usually search on YouTube or Google to see if they have a website. Sometimes people don't have websites. It's like, you don't need everything, but you need something. You Got need it. Like just the one thing. And if it makes sense for it to live on your Instagram and you want to like pin a video of you singing something, great, but just make sure it's somewhere. So often it's not anywhere. So many of my story posts are just begging people to add stuff to the internet.
Oh, interesting.
It's really tough when you know somebody who's amazing and you're trying to get them a job and you can't because, you know, the actor's not doing their part of just like making it not like, yep, I'm an amazing singer. Here's one clip of me. Like, doesn't even need to be a bunch of things. Just like one little thing, please.
Okay. You also posted about staying in touch with casting directors.
I sure did. Yeah. That's a thing. Everybody feels different about that, for sure. Mm-hmm. And like, I've worked with people who feel different back in the old days before the pandemic. When we used to work in offices, people would send postcards to offices to be like, hey. Mm-hmm. Here's what, and for young people listening, for people who are still in college especially, look up what a postcard is. But yeah, people used to do that all the time as a means of just like keeping people updated on what they're doing. And so now it's just become all email, which for me, it's always about return on investment. I always try to emphasize like none of these tips are for exclusively my benefit. It's like, I'm trying to make your lives easier.
Yeah.
And especially when it comes to like those little generic outreach or keeping in touch emails. I always tell people, I'm like, I've been working in casting for 15 years. It's very easy for me to clock the content of an email very quickly, to like open an email and in like 2 seconds be like, oh, this is like a hello, I'd love for you to audition me sometime email. And I don't find those very useful, but it's also because I don't find them a very good use of your time as an actor. It's like, I think a lot of people don't realize or don't think about is casting directors are freelancers also. Like actors, we work gig to gig. And so there's so many times I'll get emails from people being like, I'd love to audition for anything you're working on. And I'm sitting there like, yeah, I'm not working. Like, I'm not working on anything. So I would love to have something for you to audition for.
Yes.
So that's why I don't find them helpful, because I feel like it maybe makes somebody feel like they're being
proactive. You know,
they're staying busy, but like they're not being productive. Right. And it's like, there's that big difference, taking action and being productive. And so it's like, just make sure you're being productive.
But what about if they invite you to something?
Sure, that's actionable. For me, it's like, if it's something actionable that's happening in real time, yes, great. So it's like, if I'm inviting you to something, there's a timeline on that. Mm-hmm. So like, that's great. But the ones that I don't find helpful, again, for actors, it's like, how much time does an actor spend sitting there writing and like stressing about, ooh, should I say this or that? And then for me to open it and be like, yeah, I don't need this. This unfortunately isn't helpful. So yeah, just be mindful of what it is. And if there's like, what's the point, right? It's like, I just want this person to know me. Like, okay, then submit yourself when there's something I'm actively casting in a role that you're right for that's specific and that you want to audition for. Great. As opposed to, hello, you are unemployed right now. Whenever you get a job next, please remember. It's like,
Okay. Yeah, I agree.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUPS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUPS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUPSmusical.com.
Great expectations.
The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
So a new thing for me with the pandemic has been the Zoom callbacks.
Yeah, trigger warning, trigger warning. Everybody go somewhere safe. Pause and go somewhere safe. Yeah, Zoom callbacks are wild. I do not envy actors at all. I thankfully have not had to do a Zoom callback for a musical.
Yeah, I never have either.
Thank God. And so
I don't even know how that would
work. I can't
speak
to that.
Like with the music?
No idea. Yeah, I don't know. And I don't want to. I never want to know. Nobody tell me. But I did have to do a chemistry read over Zoom, which is a ridiculous proposition.
I did too. Yeah.
Chemistry is about two people in a room together, and Zoom is the farthest thing from that. And so, yeah, they happen. They're weird. A thing that I will say, a friend of mine, Cesar Rocha, who's a casting executive at Netflix, had a really great idea. We were working on a show together, and there was like two actors, and they were going to be playing opposite this other actor who was cast in the show already. And so we were chemistry reading them with the existing person. And we did one round of chemistry reads, and it just like nothing really clicked. And we knew that both of the actors were really good, but it was like, what's happening here? And so then I think it was him who recommended. He was like, well, we just dropped them in a Zoom and we're like, start this very, you know, personal, deep, meaningful friendship scene with each other. And so we did another one where we just like threw them on a Zoom for 15 minutes just to like chat as humans. And I was like, that's such a good idea. Cause it's like, how do we mitigate this deeply impersonal medium that is the internet and Zoom that's like so distant and remote? And make that a little warm as like, all right, let's like just let these people get to know each other for a few minutes before we dive in. And that was really helpful. And the actors found it helpful. And then we did end up making an offer to somebody after that. So.
Oh, good, good. So for everyone out there, I'll just like kind of break it down from the actor's point of view. So you have a regular scheduled audition time. And, you know, you have to have all your equipment set up because then you're in the waiting room and you have no idea when that camera is going to go on, when they're going to let you in front of like a room of people watching you. Sometimes the people on the other side are all together watching the camera, and sometimes it's all different Zooms. So it's like you could be like picking your nose and then like, oh, God, hi. Hi, everybody.
Yeah, you see the little wheel and it's like, oh, no.
And sometimes it could be like a super long time. So they're like, what do I do during this time? I'll go off, like get a drink of water and then be like, oh, okay, I'm here. Hi.
Yeah. Then you hear from afar, Carrie.
Yeah, yeah, like, exactly. Oh, no. And then you're with the casting director. And so sometimes they say, sometimes it's a chemistry read, which I did with Ngauri Rice for this movie Honor Society that I did. And she's, you know, kind of like famous. And here I am like just doing the thing on Zoom with her, which was funny. But then sometimes they'll say you could bring your own reader or we'll have a reader for you. Which do you prefer? What do you think works better for that?
Yeah, that's tricky because usually the readers that we're using have been reading for that project before and so are really locked into like the style or even things like the pace, just all of it. Like the readers we're using aren't like, we're not bringing in somebody who's never read this material for callbacks if we can possibly avoid it in literally any way. Usually what we do with readers is we'll find like one or two people to use for the whole process because, you know, sides change over the course and there's cuts or directors want you to like, you know, push this thing in a certain way or all that. And so using the reader that is provided can be very helpful, but it's more difficult because there's a little bit of lag on Zoom. You know, the internet's not perfect. Even in the year 2023, the internet's not perfect. And so having your own reader, at least you're in the same space and then like the timing is better. And there's like a person there in the room with you who you can feed off of. So it depends. And also, you know, then you have a really good relationship with, you know, presuming it's like a friend or a family member.
Right,
and so
that
can be helpful. So there's pluses and minuses. It's like, try one, see how it goes. If you don't like it, try the other one.
Yeah. That all makes sense. This is my last question for you. How is casting for musicals different than TV now after Zoom? I mean, not after COVID.
We're done with Zoom, finally. Sorry, Zoom. Everyone, sell your stock. How is it different? That's a good question. Yeah, I think Zoom auditions for musicals, I truly can't imagine. I will say I was working on a musical early in COVID, and there we did little work sessions with actors before we had them retape, which we thought would be helpful because usually in the before times, it's like actors would audition, and then if there were people you wanted to call back, they would, you know, you'd call them back and they could do that. And this, it was like callbacks were just more tapes, like that first round of callbacks kind of was retaping. And so
do you have to like stand in a different way for doing theater auditions over camera? You know, like, do you have to see more of your body?
Yes. Thank you. Yeah, that the framing's different. So musical theater, you definitely want to be farther back, like maybe from your waist up is probably good, or like,
okay,
because also, I mean, even on a technical level, you'll blow out your mic. Look up that feature, preserve original sound on Zoom, if you're doing a Zoom audition, because that will help not do that weird Zoom thing where you start singing and then it cuts in and out.
Oh, I never knew that.
Zoom has a feature for that, which is great. Because what happened before that was like the microphone on your laptop would be picking up the sound from you, but also the sound from the speakers playing it. And so it didn't know which one to prioritize. And it was like, oh no, which is why it cuts out. But Zoom has something to address that. But yeah, you need to stand a little bit farther back for sure. And then like TV and film, you want to be closer. Like, right, I don't know. You're a good frame.
Yeah. Shoulders, kind of shoulders up. Yeah, like a little bit below the shoulders.
Yeah, slightly below the shoulders, because you don't want to be too close, because then it's just uncomfortable. Then I feel like you're staring into my soul, and we don't need that. But yeah, because it's also, think about, I think I always encourage people to like think about the medium. It's like, you know, a stage and theater is going to be so much bigger. So it's like, you can be farther back. Also, again, the technical level, you're going to blow out your mic, but also it's like, it's just such a different experience to watch someone like sing a ballad from right up close and personal than to be like, oh, let's have a little bit of distance, versus TV and film where it's like the medium is right here, you know, on.
And you could be, you basically whisper there. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So college showcases. Do you go to the college showcases?
I sure do. I go to so many of them. I love them. I love them so much. My two favorite things, I think, in the whole world are college showcases and the Jimmy Awards. And it's for the same reasons. It's because it's just a show. It's like the stakes are so high, but in like the most endearing, earnest way possible. Mm-hmm. Because like people have invested all of this like time and energy and money into this thing, and it's like a culminating experience. Mm-hmm. And so I love them. And yeah, it's really fun. Cause also it's like, it's the best, we hope, the best version of auditions, because people get to pick their own material and they get to do, we hope, the thing that they do best. And then it's like these, you know, little 1 and 2 and 3 minute snippets of people just getting to show you who they are, which is great in a way that they don't necessarily in auditions, cause then we're picking the material for them. And so it's like, hey, you get to sit there and be like, this is what I do best.
So if any of you need help with your college showcase, you can reach out to Andrew, right? You have a coaching business.
Yeah, I have a consulting business for college showcases. It's on my website at castingbythem.com. Truly everything, all the parts of showcases, material selection, cuts, how long it should be, what you're wearing, the order of the seat, like everything matters so much. I mean, I've seen hundreds of showcases, and it's wild how things that people, I think, don't consider. It's all very psych 101, but it's like the order of the scenes does matter. The length of the showcase does matter. Like, you're losing the audience. I always feel bad if a showcase is more than an hour. I'm like, the people who are performing their scene an hour and a half into a showcase, you're not setting them up to win. It's going to be very challenging for people in that room to be in a good mood after 85 minutes, even if the person's really good. It's like, you got, like, we're human. And so I love to talk all about that it's like, remember, the people at your showcase are humans, and a lot of showcases take place during lunchtime. And so it's like, keep it short, keep it moving. For the love of God, sing an up tempo. All those things. Happy to talk about it all. No more jewel tone dresses and half inch Leducas.
Reach out to Andrew if you need coaching for your, if you have a college showcase coming up. Also, you have an art account.
I sure do. At Franny Girl Art. Girl, G-U-R-L. Yeah, it's art. I named it after my grandma, Grandma Fran. I have a tattoo of her handwriting over there.
Aww.
Yeah, it's something fun. I mean, all the stuff behind me is original art, except that I did not make. That's Alyssa Edwards by an artist that I found on Instagram, Chad Sell. But yeah, the rest of it's all me. It's stuff to do in the meantime, because you're not always working in the thing that you make your profession doing. And so it's important to, as Ayanna Van Zant says, fill your cup. Make sure your cup is full, baby.
I'm doing a whole series on that because actors, you know, like we'll go like a year without getting a good job.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we have to have other jobs.
You got to have other stuff that makes you happy because it, yes. like, it's important to love what you do. And it's important to love the stuff that maybe you doesn't pay your bills.
100%. Yes.
Like then all my self-worth is invested in if I have a job or not. And
yes,
I don't have a job a lot of the time. It's like, especially, you know, actors, casting people too. It's like a lot of the time we're not employed. Hmm. So I got to have something else that makes me happy.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for being here. And guys, follow Andrew on Instagram. Andrew has like the best posts.
Well, thank you. Yeah. At casting by them. Really simple. Casting like what I do. By like me. Them also like me.
Thank you so much, Andrew. Thank you so much for listening. If you like this podcast and want more episodes, please take a second to rate it. Check out my website, Carrie Butler Coach, for more info on private coaching and teaching at schools. You can follow me on Instagram, CarrieButler1, and visit bpn.fm/Breaking Broadway for all ways to listen, follow, subscribe, hear past episodes of Breaking Broadway, and find out more information.
Together, you and I are breaking Broadway.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but yeah. Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.